Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Very good morning to you. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about how teams are going out into communities hardest hit by COVID-19 to talk with people who are resistant to getting vaccinated. We'll find out what sorts of messages these community-based teams are employing and what the biggest sources of misinformation are. They include such things as that the vaccine is part of a satanic plot, or it's designed for the government to implant chips in your body. The list of outrageous claims about the vaccines is rather long. We're going to talk with those who go out and attempt to debunk and to explain to people why it's in their best interest to be vaccinated against COVID-19. But this hour, we begin by talking about the latest in COVID-19 research. With us from Huntington Hospital in Pasadena, infectious disease specialist, Dr. Kimberly Schreiner. Dr. Schreiner, a very good morning to you. Hope you had a nice weekend.
A very nice weekend, Larry. Hope you did too.
Yes, very nice. Are things getting back close to normal at Huntington?
They're getting close to normal. I mean, I don't think we'll ever be back to where we were before the pandemic, because we sort of know that that could happen again. So we're cautiously optimistic, but we are prepared should we see any signs of a surge. So the numbers are definitely dropping. We're beginning to be able to kind of mop up, if you will, after this really pretty difficult winter.
I've seen that in Pasadena for several days, they've not had a single case. This is hard to imagine just a few weeks ago.
It's encouraging. It really is. I think we're all kind of holding our breath to see what happens in the next 2 to 4 weeks. I think that will be the real test across the nation, if the vaccines are really going to hold us safe and keep sort of just diminish the number of hosts that this virus can go to. That's the big question.
Well, and speaking of that, we've all seen what's happened in Miami Beach, where you've got tens of thousands, if not more, spring break revelers who have taken to the street, partying, unmasked, the city putting an 8 o'clock curfew into effect. And you can guess how effective that is with a crowd of spring breakers. Your thoughts, Dr. Schreiner, about what we're seeing there? I haven't heard of something that intense at other spring break locations, but I'm sure there's a lot of maskless partying going on.
Well, we may see the consequences of that in the next 2 weeks or so, Larry. Remember, it always kind of takes a couple weeks or about 5 to 10 days for people to contract the disease. And then that particular population, the young people don't get terribly sick, but we know that they can be super spreaders. And so when they bring it home into their households and older people get sick, then that's when we begin to see an uptick in the hospitalizations. A lot of young people are getting vaccinated across the country, and we're beginning to do that in California as well. And so we encourage people to do that. I was meeting with a young person yesterday at a small little gathering we had in the backyard, and she'd been vaccinated because she worked at a vaccine place, and was very hopeful that her friends were getting vaccinated. So I'm optimistic that young people are going to take the right steps, but certainly what was happening back there is pretty scary.
We're talking with Huntington Hospital infectious disease specialist Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, wonderful friend to Air Talk, part of our family of experts who join us on a daily basis on the program. And I can't wait till the pandemic is over and we can all get together in person. Our physicians who've joined us over the course of this past year, definitely a part of our family, and we deeply appreciate the generosity of their time, as well as appreciate their expertise and ability to explain the complexities of COVID-19 and the public health policies in such a terrific way. If you have questions for Dr. Schreiner, please ask them now at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You can post your question on the AirTalk Facebook page, or you can tweet it at AirTalk. As we just heard on NPR's Hourly Newscast, AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine, developed with Oxford University researchers, found in its U.S. late-stage clinical trials to be 79% effective and to be completely effective against severe cases of COVID-19. This would appear to pave the way for a rather quick emergency use authorization, giving a fourth vaccine available here in the U.S. Dr. Schreiner, your thoughts on this news from AstraZeneca?
Well, I hope it sort of quells some of the anxiety that people have about what happened in Europe. I think it's pretty clear that that was likely unrelated to the vaccine, the few cases of embolic disease that they saw of clotting problems. And I think this speaks to the when you do a trial very carefully and very well done, as this one was done in the United States, that shows the true data in a more reassuring form. It's a very safe, very effective vaccine. It's easy to store, and so it's going to be something that's going to be very useful in countries that don't have good refrigeration. So I certainly, if that's a vaccine that you have access to, and then that's the one you should get. It appears to be very, very safe. You know, I also think that what happened last week in Europe and taking a pause on the distribution because of the events speaks to the fact that we're trying to follow the science. We're trying to look at the data very carefully. It shows that the system works, that when we see something that's worrisome, we may take a moment and really re-examine the data. But I'm very reassured that those were likely unrelated events and that this vaccine is very safe.
Speaking of Europe, they have fallen behind the UK and the United States in per capita vaccination rates. They tried to do this centralized EU approach, and then you had individual companies going their own way because they didn't have confidence in what the overall approvals were. Is there anything cautionary that you take from what the EU's done for consideration for future U.S. action?
Well, I think this is something the United States has done actually quite well. And I think that it's important to partner with pharmaceutical companies and recognize that, yes, though they do have a profit margins in mind, that the science is good, and that if you work with them very carefully, that becomes the predominant driving factor. And we saw this a little bit with HIV when Gilead, which made most of the HIV medications, they were making very good HIV medications. They were a little bit reluctant to make some of the patents known to other countries, and the United States stepped in and said this is for the benefit of the rest of the world, and they did it. And so I think that there was a good conversation with the private pharmaceutical companies about the importance of getting a vaccine developed and that it needed to be rolled out very quickly in an organized fashion. The Europeans are very cautious. They really want to spend a lot of time on equity, which is a noble thing. But I think it was a disorganized rollout, and they're paying the price for it, unfortunately, right now.
Dr. Kimberly Schreiner of Huntington Hospital with us at 866-893-KPECC. Robin in Burbank asks, with many other countries around the world not yet having access to vaccines, what is happening at U.S. airports or should be happening at U.S. airports to keep the virus at bay?
Well, that's a very good question, and the point that Robin's making is an important one, is that the pandemic won't end until we really get the vast majority of the planet vaccinated. And so it is the obligation of wealthier countries to step up and help facilitate the distribution and implementation of vaccines and encouragement of vaccines in countries that are reluctant to do it or don't have the resources to do it. I'm not quite aware of all the actual immigration information right now, but I do believe that countries that have high prevalence of the B.1.1.7 variant, which is, of course, circulating in Europe, that there is recommendations that those individuals remain in quarantine should they come into the country. Some airports are requesting proof of vaccination. And, of course, testing is required on many international airlines even before you get on the airplane. So there are modalities in place to try to protect the import of those viruses, although that clearly the B.1.1.7 is well established in the United States now and soon to become the dominant pathogen.
Cynthia in San Gabriel asking if there is any problem with taking anti-anxiety medication before the time of vaccination.
No, no problem whatsoever.
All right, we're at 866-893-KPECC, and I'd like to hear from you. If you were out and about this past weekend going places that have recently reopened, movie theaters, to the gym, if you've gone to eat indoors at restaurants, I'd like to hear what it was like. Were the protocols being followed? Did you feel generally safe? What about what was happening with other people who were in the same facilities where you were? This is a chance for you to be a reporter for us, so to speak, our eyes and ears, and explain what your experience was like if you went to a place that up until a week ago had been closed. Once again, we're talking movie theaters, indoor dining, gyms, any other place that has opened its doors, wineries, breweries, and the like, and particularly if you've gone inside in a place that you hadn't previously, what did you see in terms of compliance, and how safe did you feel in that environment? Was it freeing to be eating inside at a restaurant or going to the movie theater even though you were wearing a mask? 866-893-5722. The AirTalk page, kpcc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk page. Great to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle, asking listeners right now to report in on your weekend experiences. If you went out and did things that you hadn't done before because of some of the reopenings that took place, maybe you took in a movie at an indoor theater, you indulged in indoor dining, you went to the gym indoors. I want to hear if you've done some of those things. What you saw, did you feel safe? Did you feel differently than you expected you'd feel when you did this for the first time in many months? 866-893-KPCC. We also continue with Dr. Kimberly Schreiner of Huntington Hospital. Frank, in Cathedral City, I understand that you went out for fine dining at the venerable Wally's Desert Turtle Saturday night.
Yes, as soon as they made reservations available, I got online and made reservations for the usually unavailable 6:15 slot for dinner. We had a lovely three-course meal. There was plenty of social distance spacing. All of the staff were observing protocols. All of the patrons, when they were approaching, were wearing masks. My wife and I have both been doubly vaccinated more than 2 weeks because we're in the healthcare field. So we felt completely safe, and I strongly encourage people to get out and support these venues that have been really struggling. We're hoping to go to the Mary Pickford Movie Theater soon and provide them with some patronage as well. It's been a really tough year here in Coachella Valley. We've lost the Golden Voice Productions again through the end of this year, is my understanding.
Yeah, that's right.
Urbis Open, a lot of the major events that bring a huge amount of tourist economic activity here. But I can say it looks like we're open for business.
Frank, that's wonderful to hear. Frank in Cathedral City, thank you so much for being with us. And yeah, as you said, Golden Voice produced a Coachella Festival put off until April of 2022. They were going to try for October, but have postponed again to April of next year, almost 13 months away for the next Coachella. Frank, thank you so much. Dr. Kimberly Schreiner, your thoughts on what Frank experienced at Wally's Desert Turtle, that longstanding institution in the Coachella Valley?
Well, it sounds like they really did an excellent job, and that's what we need the restaurants and these other venues to make sure that they provide a safe environment that'll encourage people to come back. And I think that that's a great thing, and I'm glad that Frank has a dedication to his community to try to get everybody back on track. We just need to be very cautious, take it very slowly, make sure that there's appropriate distancing, that everybody's wearing masks, and then we'll get there. And then eventually we can probably have things even more normal than they were. But these are baby steps, and I'm encouraged that the restaurant community out there and other places are really making an effort to do this properly.
Well, I have to say for myself, and until I'm fully vaccinated, I won't be comfortable eating inside at a restaurant or going inside to a movie theater. I expect that that will change after I'm fully vaccinated, that I will feel comfortable at places that are adhering to all the protocols. And once again, doing that, I know I sure miss it, Dr. Schreiner. But what about for yourself? You've been fully vaccinated for some time now. Does that give you a sense of peace and safety about doing it?
It's given me some comfort a little bit, I think, at the hospital, and you can certainly see that in all of the healthcare workers. It's just it's not an absolute, but it just makes things a little bit easier when we're in that environment. I have to be perfectly honest. I'm having some adjustments. I think because of the things that I experienced as a physician during the really horrible surge of the winter, we have to have a lot of respect for this pathogen. It really is very, very fierce. And I think I'm part of me is just sort of dipping my toe in the water. Certainly, we've had some nice little gatherings with my mom and some other people that are fully vaccinated. And, you know, it's baby steps we're making. We had a little music the other night with my music group. Everybody was vaccinated, but it was still out
in the backyard.
So we're moving forward, but it's slowly. And I think some of my issues are just because of the sort of horrific things that we experienced at the hospital. And I think we want to be very, very cautious with this. We don't want to go backwards. That just, I don't think anybody could take that. And I think we've got to be very, very careful with what's going on.
What you're describing isn't just a sort of a rational decision, although obviously that's part of what, but it sounds like you were in many ways imprinted by the terrible things that you saw during the height of COVID-19. And is this going to stay with you, do you think, lifelong?
It is. It's been a very difficult year in terms of what we've had to deal with at the hospital. There's an esprit de corps that was established that was incredible, and it's a very bonding experience. There's a lot of good things that have come out of this, and I think that's the legacy for all the many people that have perished with this disease. But we're not out of it yet completely, and I think we do need to be very, very careful with the presence of variants and still the lack that most people are still not vaccinated. So there's some remarkable achievements. The achievement of a vaccine in such a short period of time is just truly an accomplishment. It's an homage to science. And I think that we're just going to have to be careful. But, yeah, I think it's a very impactful event. I started my practice when the HIV pandemic had first started, and that has been a very very impactful thing for me in terms of my career. But this one as well has been very much of an influence on that.
Yeah. Well, and all the losses I'm sure you observed during the time where HIV and AIDS were just devastating populations here. I'm sure that too, not just professionally, but on a personal basis will stay with you lifelong as well. So many of us lost so many people in our lives or people whose work we admired. It's just devastating.
Yeah.
All right. We're at 866-893-5722. Let's talk with Kate in Toluca Lake. Kate, you went back to the gym, I understand.
I did. When the gyms were allowed to reopen, and I work out at this wonderful gym in Studio City. It's so good for my physical and mental health. I love the community. When they were allowed to reopen, the owner astroturfed the small parking lot, and each morning the instructors roll out equipment for cardio, and you stay at your station, you reserve an advance. You disinfect everything. You wear a mask the entire time. And I was so comfortable with that. Then this past week, by the way, the police inspectors definitely rolled by to make sure everyone was masked. This past week, I was able to work out inside in the very limited spaces available. And it was really nice. I am so afraid of eating out at restaurants and everything else. My husband has noted that this is kind of like my finally kind of coming around, being so afraid through COVID. But it was funny because your listeners outside of Southern California are going to be so annoyed when I say this. But 40 degrees for me at 7 a.m. is really cold.
I think that's cold for everybody, Kate. Thanks so much. 866-893-KPCC, except in Chicago, where 40 degrees. Oh, it's shorts weather. 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. David in Sauteuil. Hotel on the West Side says, we went out this past weekend to Westwood. We went to one of our favorite places, Diddy Reese, the ice cream sandwich place. We were bothered by the fact that although we were fully masked, there were people eating their ice cream unmasked right at the entrance. They looked young. I think there's still a problem with young people feeling like they don't have to wear masks, only do it when they absolutely have to, like inside the store. Well, obviously, to eat their ice cream, they'd have to take the mask off, but I understand you had to walk right by them to enter the business. 866-893-KPECC. AD in Long Beach says, we went to many wineries in Temecula, and we felt unsafe. In one instance, we saw a large group of about 16 people who acted like COVID did not exist and did not wear any masks. That's AD in Long Beach, who went to Temecula over the weekend. Let's talk next with Jill in Pasadena. You're on Air Talk.
Hello, good morning. I have a question for Dr. Schreiner.
Go right ahead.
Immune-suppressed individuals were not included in the vaccine trials, and I'm taking multiple immune suppressants, and thankfully I've received the first Pfizer shot. At some point after the second shot, is there an antibody test which I could take to see if my system, my immune system, mounted a response? And if so, which antibody test and how many weeks after the second shot?
We've gotten a lot of questions like this, not just with people who have been on medication, which has suppressed immune response. Dr. Schreiner?
So the yes, there are. You could get an antibody test. You can get a quantitative IgG. Now the problem is that we don't quite know how to interpret that. And remember that the antibodies are the first part of your immune response, but the cellular response, the T cells and B cells, are the more important part of your immune response. And that seems to be perhaps the one that really retains the memory. And so. So that's called the adaptive immune response, and that's a very difficult thing to measure. It's not commercially available. I will tell you, Jill, that even in people who are immunosuppressed, there does appear to be protection, and there are some scientific papers that are coming out right now that are evaluating people who have had immune problems who actually got COVID and their ability to retain antibodies and apparent immunity to the virus at least 6 months after their disease. And we think the same is true for the vaccines. And as, of course, we're beginning to roll out many, many millions of doses of vaccines, we are seeing that in just in terms of the number of cases in nursing homes and so forth that are compromised patients, they seem to be responding. So get vaccinated. It's still a good thing.
All right. Thanks very much, Jill. Awaiting her second vaccination of the Pfizer vaccine, Jill in Pasadena. It's Air Talk on KPECC. I so appreciate your support of Air Talk on KPECC. I'm invigorated every day during our member drives. When I get off the air, I feel buoyed by all the support of listeners caring so much about this program and the mission of Air Talk on KPECC. I'm asking listeners like you, if you were out and about over the weekend to places that have recently reopened indoors, what was it like to go indoors to see a movie, perhaps, if you did that? What was it like to go have a meal inside, if this is the first time that you've done it for a very long time? If you've gone to the gym indoors for the first time? Any other places that I'm neglecting to mention? I would love to hear from you. We also have some other questions. Bennett in Silver Lake asks Dr. Schreiner, my hospital says the CDC has not authorized home visits to give injections for people who are homebound. Is there a clinical reason as to why the CDC hasn't authorized that?
There are some public health programs, including ours in Pasadena, and I want to shout out to Dr. Goh and Dr. Feaster and their amazing, amazing team. They had a wonderful article about them in the Star News over the weekend, and they deserve just incredible kudos for the just heroic work that they've done. So, but our health department is doing that. We're sort of assessing the situation of people who are homebound and then creating a place where we can go out and make sure that they get their shots. So there are individual communities. That's more the purview of the individual public health departments, I think. But it certainly is a population we want to get to.
Yeah.
Even though they're sequestered at home, they are obviously can have caregivers that bring the disease in.
Or other family members, and they're so vulnerable.
That's right. Absolutely. So it's a great question. And there's, you know, we're just sort of trying to think through all the populations that we can in terms of how we can get these people vaccinated, homeless population as well, very high risk. So it's a challenge, but I think the health departments are doing a pretty good job, and they're just, and Pasadena's doing a great job. We've really tried to recognize that. The hospital's been participating very deeply with their vaccination program with Pasadena Public Health as well.
That's great. Nora, in Highland Park, you're on with Huntington Hospital's Dr. Kimberly Schreiner.
Hi. I am currently undergoing an IVF cycle, and I'm stimulating my ovaries, and my RE said I could get the vaccine, or if I didn't feel comfortable getting the vaccine, I didn't have to. And I have an appointment to get the vaccine tomorrow, and I'm just wondering if you have any input on the safety of the vaccine in this process.
Very good question, Nora. Dr. Schreiner.
It's a good question, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of data on that. We do know that women, when they're pregnant, are at higher risk for more serious disease with COVID. The incidence of failed fertility procedures and so forth, or a possible miscarriage, or is unclear right now because those populations haven't been studied. So I wish, Nora, I could tell you some good data, but I don't have that right now. You know, it's a bit of a personal choice. I think that if you want to hold off on the vaccine, you can. I'm a little uneasy. Once you're fully vaccinated, there shouldn't be any reason not to proceed with your IVF therapies. But it's a tricky question, so I think it's going to be a personal choice. Again, pregnant women are at high risk for a bad outcome. I would say that most, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommends not withholding the vaccine in pregnant women. It's a little trickier in people that are undergoing IVF.
Nora, we wish you all the best. Thank you so much. Leslie in Yorba Linda says, been exactly a year since I've been to the gym. I went to 24-hour fitness over the weekend. Instead of the actual exercise room, they put people on the basketball court. Everyone wore masks. They were spaced out. It felt very safe. That's Leslie in Yorba Linda. 866-893-KPCC. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, AirTalk Facebook page as well. Ming in Orange County said her sister went to get vaccinated, and the pharmacy where she was getting it asked for her Medicare number, wondering if that's something. Ming, I was under the impression that whomever is providing the vaccination is asking for insurance or Medicare information for billing purposes. I thought that was routine. Dr. Schreiner?
So the vaccines are free, but the implementation of the vaccine, if you go to a pharmacy or a doctor's office, there may be a minimal charge for that, but they can't charge for the vaccine itself. If you go to a public health department or you go to a large vaccine site like Dodger Stadium, there's no charge at all. Some of that information is just being registered so that they can keep track of everybody who's been vaccinated and so forth. But some doctor's offices and some, I believe, some pharmacies will charge for the putting the shot in your arm.
All right. And I think insurance companies are uniformly reimbursing for it, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
We want people to be, we don't want any kind of financial barriers and payment issues associated with getting vaccinated. This is so very important that we move this as quickly as possible.
We have a question with more vaccine, with more testing sites for COVID-19 being turned into vaccination centers. Might that impede the ability of people to be tested?
Well, it's certainly a concern. Now, there are quite a few places now that one can get tested. I remember at the very beginning of the pandemic, that was such an issue that we just didn't have any testing available and we didn't have testing kits, and it was just sort of a nightmare. But there are many, many places now where you can get tests relatively easily, certainly all emergency rooms, urgent cares, open testing sites. The public health departments still do a lot of testing. And certainly if there's an outbreak or you're exposed to an individual, then that person, there's contact tracing and testing done. So there's enough other venues, I think, that right now when there's a lowish density of disease, we have enough. Now, if it begins to creep upward, then we're going to maybe transition or flip back to some of those vaccine centers doing testing as well. And some do both of them. So I think we're okay right now, but if it looks like we're going to have a surge, then we absolutely need to ramp up testing.
So you're not concerned that what we're seeing in the low cases of COVID-19 is in any way related to lack of access to testing, and so you don't feel like there's a bunch of hidden COVID?
I don't think so, Larry. We have to remember that there are many, many people who get COVID who are asymptomatic, and so there's that factor. And so that's the value of doing a lot of testing all the time. But I think if you look at the end game in terms of hospitalizations, you know, we certainly are seeing a very low amount right now. Will that last? I certainly hope so. But we'll just have to watch. The next 2 to 4 weeks are going to be critical to see if we end up getting an uptick like they're having in Europe.
Cheryl B. writes on the page, "We ventured out to dinner for the very first time in a year, dining in South Pasadena. It seemed like everybody was out," Cheryl B. writes. "Restaurant abided perfectly by COVID guidelines, proper distance. Servers wore both masks and face shields. Felt very safe, but still quite shocked by the amount of people, cars, activity we saw out on what we figured would be a sleepy Sunday evening." Cheryl B., that's been my experience when I've been out in the evening on weekends, is just I'm stunned because things were so sleepy and quiet, like you say, prior. And there's so much pent-up demand. Although I have to say, Dr. Schreiner, I thought this would be the case. I know there's some reluctance for some people going out and doing things again, but there's a lot of pent-up desire. I mean, even the spring breakers, you know, going wild that we see, you know, that sort of pent-up energy, I'm not surprised it's coming out.
No, I'm not either, Larry. And I think the ones that are the most hesitant are probably the healthcare workers who can see what this disease does.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, everybody wants this to be over, and I certainly do as well. But we're not quite there yet. And so that's why you hear concerns from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Walensky at the CDC for if people can kind of try to keep the number of mingling with other folks to a minimum. And you know, and we're concerned about the number of people that are traveling around the country, that could result in a surge. So we are going to probably have some little surges here and there. Hopefully we won't have a massive one because that just was really pretty awful. But I think that, you know, people want to be out. And if the weather's nice in California, we're very lucky with wonderful weather. So, you know, I think if they do it safely, think about their risk, then we'll be okay.
Dr. Schreiner, we so appreciate you. Thank you very much for being with us again and spending an entire hour during this important day of fundraising for KPCC. We appreciate you and thank you. And please give our appreciation and thanks to all of your Huntington colleagues.
Well, KPCC and AirTalk have done a wonderful job. I'm a donor. I encourage everybody else to contribute to KPCC because they are the speakers of truth and science, and that's terrific.
Thank you so much. Dr. Kimberly Schreiner.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.